Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the show. I got a guest in the studio, my good friend, Chris Key, sitting with me today. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Gary.
It's our last show before the end of the year. So it's the last of 2012 going away. Glad you decided to come in and spend it with me.
Well, it's better than spending it on taxes.
Fiscal cliff talk. We'll get there at some point this morning. Let's take care of some business first off. Our sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop, ROCK-SHOP, SHOPPE.com. Now, The Rock Shop, I think, is open only by appointment this time of year, but you can call them, 734-455-5560, and start pre-planning. Go in and talk to Marco and Helena Scapatici about some hardscape that you may want to do come springtime. They have a whole lot of fountains, statuaries, and good stuff there. It's a great place to actually just go in. If you're driving down M14, get off at exit 15, which is Godfredson Road, go north a quarter of a mile to North Territorial, and they got a great shop with all kinds of good stuff there. If you're thinking of doing any pavers or retaining walls or anything like that, they're the best place to go because, A, they won't just sell you anything. They'll sell you the right product for your application. And, two, they will teach you for free how to install it yourself so you don't have to pay somebody else to do it, which is a big money savings. You're a big guy. You like to learn about how to do things, right? We were just talking about what model and what? The walls. What's the wall building that you
Oh, Waddle and Dobb.
Waddle and Dobb. There we go. So I learned something this morning talking with Chris. He's full of some of the oddest information that a human being, I think, has ever had. So I always appreciate that when you and I have a conversation.
Yeah, everyone needs to know useless facts.
I didn't say useless. But we got a lot of stuff to cover today, and today I'm actually going to try and go through this show. I didn't print off anything today other than the outline, which is like four sentences. And I'm going to try and just go off of the current or the Daily Drift website. And what I do on this show every week is rehash the stories and current events of the week, which you can find at www.thedailydrift.com. And I put this stuff up there every day. I go to the websites around the world because a lot of the information that you need, you don't get from American news sources. I don't know if you've noticed, if you go to the Daily Drift sometimes, you'll see a lot of stuff from the Daily Telegraph or the UK Mail and other places around the world because American media does not give you everything you need to know. So I put it on there and let you read it through, and it is the news you need to know. So if you want to call in, 734-822-1600, and if you want to contact me, gary@thedailydrift.com, you can just email me your comments or if you have any questions. Or if you want to advertise with Gary here at the radio station, feel free, gary@thedailydrift.com. So, Chris, big news again this week was fiscal cliff. Shall we talk a little bit about fiscal cliff?
Yeah, I'd like to learn more.
Okay, so you've been talking to a lot of people about it. And one of the first things you said to me this morning, I'm getting a bunch of different answers. Somebody said, tell me about that.
Well, I've asked everyone that I know that I meet during the day, what exactly is fiscal cliff? And I've gotten a different answer from every person, including about the Bush tax cuts on different percentages that our taxes are even going to go up by.
Yeah. And essentially that's what it is. It's the expiration of the Bush tax cuts. Now, Congress put their own spin on this by saying, listen, if we don't come to an arrangement, we're going to go into automatic spending cuts. And that's the sequestration that everybody's talking about. And that's going to take, is it $1 trillion, Derek? It's going to take a lot of money out of the budget. So we're going to cut defense spending by a huge amount of money, $500 billion, I think. There's going to be a lot of spending cuts across the board, but it's not going to hit the real meat of the issue. It's not going to go after the entitlements. Entitlements are your Medicaid, Social Security, Medicare, the retirements of federal employees, pensions, that sort of thing. And those are that's where the real meat is. That's where the real spending is. Now, we've heard it on the show before this. It's Heroes Talk Radio. If you take away all the miscellaneous spending, we really only bring in enough money in this country to pay Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the interest on the debt. The operating budget for the federal government includes the Army and everything else. We don't pay for that. We borrow that money. Or we print that money. And that's the problem. We have $1.4 trillion. I think last year was $1.6 trillion that we spent that we don't have. That just went on the credit card, so to speak, the country's credit card. Now, I don't think people understand the nature of $1 trillion. And that's what people don't seem to understand. And the government is pulling the wool over all of our eyes because they'll say, oh, you know, this new Obama plan where we're going to let the top 2% Bush tax cuts expire is going to bring in $1.2 trillion over 10 years. See how they do that little trick? We're not talking about this year. We're talking about over 10 years they're going to bring in $1.2 trillion, which is like $100 billion a year. Well, we're spending $1.4 trillion a year we don't have. How is that saving us any money?
Well, see, I think you're concentrating on the wrong thing. we're making money there. You just said it yourself.
They're printing it.
Yeah, we just make more. Don't worry, we can pay – what's our limit on that credit card for the government?
There is no limit.
That's not a problem. Just put it on the card.
Yeah. So they're just printing money. And every time you print, that's the other part of the process that I don't think people understand. When you print more money at the Federal Reserve Bank, the money that's already in your pocket or in your bank account or in your holdings, wherever, becomes worth less. You know, so the dollar that you have in your pocket is no longer – that last quantitative easing, QE3 I think it was, and it did the same with QE2 and QE1. We're not talking about the ships. We're talking about monetary – shift in the economy, that money becomes less, worth less and less and less. So the dollar that was worth a dollar 10 years ago is probably worth 60 cents now, 40 cents. You know, I'm not the economist, but it is worth less. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So the fiscal cliff is really something that we brought on ourselves, obviously. But even if there's a negotiation and they're talking, they had a meeting last night and they're going to let us know today what Harry Reid, idiot Harry Reid, and Mitch McConnell came up with to try and get the Senate to pass. And that was the news we just saw a few minutes ago. What is that going to do? Is it going to really have any meat to it? Are they going to cut $1 trillion? That's what it comes down to. If you want to balance the budget, you've got to find a way to cut $1.4 trillion out of the budget. And that is the entire operating budget for the federal government.
Well, I could say this. We could do with less presidential India trips.
Yeah, and less Hawaiian trips.
Yeah, less vacations.
Less vacations right off the top would be huge. You know, Obama's a millionaire. He's that top 1%. He can work for a dollar like Rick Snyder does. Go ahead and work for a buck, dude. Well, show me you care.
Here's a question that I got from asking a lot of people what the fiscal cliff was, and that is what was the intention of the Bush tax cuts originally? What was it supposed to accomplish?
It was under the – this is the Republicans, and this is where the liberals and the Democrats say that doesn't work. Allegedly, when you allow people to keep more of their own money, and this includes the wealthy, the rich, if you don't tax them as much and they have more money to keep, they will invest it into businesses – or start a new business or their own business or invest it in venture capitalists who will then make that money available for someone to start a new business and hire some people who will then have jobs who you will then tax. And common sense says, yes, that makes sense because when a private enterprise has capital, they will invest it and do something. It grows. But when you give money to the government, they don't start a business. They don't start something that continues to make money. It doesn't produce. It's a parasite.
Do you think that the tax cuts have accomplished that?
Say that again?
Do you think the Bush tax cuts have accomplished that?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that they did. I do know that if I don't have extra money in my pocket, I can't, A, spend it in the economy because I'm giving it to the government. I guess it comes down to this. It's a question of who knows better how to spend our money, because this is your money that will be coming out of your paycheck, my money coming out of my paycheck, money coming out of Derek's paycheck. Do I want to give it to Barack Hussein Obama and have him turn around and give that money to Joe Schmo down the street who doesn't have a job? I mean, part of this whole fiscal cliff negotiation is extending unemployment benefits yet again. So I would prefer to have that money myself and either A, spend it, I'll buy something stupid. I'll go buy another television, or I'll buy a bike, or I'll buy a car, which in turns puts money into the business that just built that car, which means they can probably hire somebody. That's putting money into the private sector.
Yeah.
If I give it to the government, they're not going to spend that in a way that puts it back into the private sector. At best, they may go build a road. We'll do the infrastructure thing. Let's spend that money on roads. Let's go find a shovel-ready project, spend it on a road, and that's going to make jobs. No, it doesn't. It's a project. It doesn't make a job. It makes a project, which may last 3 or 4 months. And is it going to create a new job? No. It'll probably give some additional work to a road building company, Union Road Building Company, if it's under Davis-Bacon wages, which they always are. And so you don't get the most bang for the buck. You're only going to get a mile of road instead of 2 miles of road. But it goes away. But when you put money into the private sector, it makes a business, it employs somebody, and that makes more money. You know what I mean? That's a difference. It's production versus, I don't even know the word, parasitism. You know, that's what government is. It's a necessary parasite because we can't do things individually. We can't build a road just in front of our house and wait for our neighbor to build a road in front of his house. You know what I mean? You just talked about that, the Mormon Church buying a road out there in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. I mean, we have to have a road that continues to somewhere. And so things like building roads, building sewers, having an army, a navy, an air force, those are all things we can't do individually. So you have to have some form of government to handle that. And I'm fine with that. I mean, those are necessary evils, shall we say? I don't know. Let's go into a break, and when we come back, we'd love to get your opinions. 734-822-1600. You're on The Drift.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
My daughter Cara came back from Iraq a few weeks ago. I'm so proud of her. She served and came back in one piece. But something was off. She was different. Distant. My wife told me not to push the issue, but I'm her dad.
You may not know what to say, but we can help start the conversation. Visit supportyourvet.org, brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
truth, justice, and the American way.
There's no such thing as people paying their fair share. And even if there was, we shouldn't be collecting more taxes right now in 2012 America. Any single time you hear a politician talk along the lines of saving money, we're in our budget, we're going to save money. You're not saving anything. They're talking cuts in programs 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years out. They're not cutting anything happening in 2012. Nothing.
It's On the Edge with Theron. Weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 on Wham!
For women.
My name is Quita.
Susie, Belinda, Trisha. I wouldn't have a clue what HPV or cervical cancer were.
I had never heard of it until after being diagnosed.
But nobody wants to talk about it. Well, we're talking about it.
Some types of HPV can cause cervical cancer.
One message.
It's important for women to talk to their medical professional about HPV and cervical cancer.
For more information, visit thegcf.org, a public service of the Gynecologic Cancer Foundation with support from Merck. That's thegcf.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600. Yeah!
Here you are, Polly, my latest culinary creation.
Mmm, these fish fillets look wonderful.
They are. I just used a small amount of a vegetable oil that's low in saturated fat.
Does that matter?
It does. Oils like canola, corn, and olive mainly contain monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, and they can help reduce bad cholesterol in your blood and lower your risk of heart disease and stroke.
How do you know?
The American Heart Association told me at heart.org/facethefats.
Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Dennis Miller here, inviting you to join me every weeknight from 9 to 11 right here on Wham! Talk 1600. I'll tell you what I think about the day's events, take some phone calls, and feature some of the best guests you're ever going to hear on any radio show. We light the candle 9 p.m. every weeknight on Wham! Talk 1600. Talk 1600.
The Dennis Miller Show. The Dennis Miller Show. Heard every weeknight at 9 on Wham! Talk 1600. Wham! Talk 1600. Talk 1600. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning in the studio with me. The Ted Heisel studio is Chris Key, a friend of mine, who's been out canvassing his own group of friends, talking about current events and the fiscal cliff. One thing that did happen, Ron Paul, I'm thinking of his son Rand Paul, says the same thing basically that we just said, that the fiscal cliff negotiations mean absolutely nothing because they're not going to tackle the problem. We can put some kind of package together, and the market may say, yes, indeed, thank you, we'll continue trading as normal because now there won't be the sequestration cuts. There won't be the taxes going up on people. The problem is the spending continues. You know, in this country, people seem to think we are above financial possibilities of going bankruptcy, going into bankruptcy. We can go bankrupt just like you and I could go bankrupt if we continue to spend the same amount of money. At some point, China, Saudi Arabia, the rest of the world will not invest in us anymore. They won't continue to give us money knowing that we're spending the way we are. I mean, you tell me, Chris, can you spend $4 out of every 10 and borrow it from somebody? Is somebody going to loan you that money?
No, but I do know where a great food bank's at. So
I don't know if there's a food bank big enough, though, to take care of the United States of America. You know, for you and I, yes, there's always that throwback to the food bank and People's Express, Northfield Human Services. We'll give them a plug, Northfield Human Services. But at some point, we're going to get to that point where Greece is now, where they're begging for loans from the European Union to help them because we've got so many people taking and not enough people producing. And that's what it comes down to. So Ron Paul saying it doesn't matter what happens with this fiscal cliff negotiation, we're still missing the point. I mean, and that's why I keep thinking balanced budget. You know, you're going to have to find a way to balance the budget, which means you're going to have to tackle entitlements because, as we just said a few minutes ago, the money we bring in only pays the interest on the debt, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. That's all we bring in. So for Department of Education, Department of Secretary of State's Department, all those different departments are running on credit right now. You know, that's $1.4 trillion on credit. What do you do?
Gary, do you have a checking account?
I do.
Do you balance your checkbook?
We do.
I think almost every average American does, so why can't our government?
That's exactly right. They need to balance the checkbook. They need to balance the budget. And what's funny is Obama seems to think, and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, same way, let's tax everybody and balance the budget. No, there's no possible way. You could take every dime from every rich person in the country, just wipe them out, take everything they've got, and it's not going to be enough but for 1 year's worth of government spending. And that's the crazy thing. I used to have on our website a nice video that showed how you would take all the money from different sectors of the economy and you come up with 1 year's worth of income. That's it. And once you've decimated those companies and those rich people, taken all their money, who are you going to take it from next?
The food banks?
The food – take it back from the food banks to give it back to the food bank people to give to us again. Yeah, at some point it just – it doesn't work. And that's the problem with socialism, which is where we're going. I mean, people think, oh, you're a nutcase, Gary. You're an extreme rightist calling us the socialist states of United States, Socialist States of America. That's what we've become. You know, I hate to be the guy holding up the sign that says the end is near, but I think the end is, financially speaking, the end is near. And I've said this for years, and people kind of give me a raft of bunk about it. This country, if we continue the way we are, if we don't stop this crazy spending, we will end up like the Soviet Union. We will split up. Because I think people in, when you look at that map of the United States and they divide it out into Democrats and Republicans are all red in the middle, and then you've got Democrats who are favor big spending on the West Coast and on the East Coast, you know, we're supporting those people who spend all that much. And at some point, people will get fed up. States will get fed up. And I think that's that big rash of you know, I'm not going to call them crazy people, but people who are so angry that they're signing petitions to secede from the union.
Yeah.
And it's not that the country will just go broke wholesale and everyone will be in a depression. I mean, I guess we could. But I think at some point, states are going to say, I've had enough. I'm going to exercise the 10th Amendment. I'm done with you. I'm not going to send any more money from my state's population to shore up a federal government. You know, I would love to see the first state say that. You know what? We're not giving you our money until you get things settled out there. You know, because in the end, I guess, as a citizen of this country, you're really a tenant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't own anything. Even if you own a piece of property, you still pay tax on it every year. If you don't pay your tax, you're not going to keep that property. They're going to come take it away from you.
Yep.
So at some point, you know, even as a citizen paying, if I don't pay my federal income tax, they're going to come and take whatever I own to pay what they think I owe. So you're really a tenant. You know what I mean? You're really a tenant. Now, and we all know you, there's a proper way as a tenant to get your landlord to do something. You can't just not pay rent because you're violating the law and he can throw you out. That's a good reason to evict. What you can do is take that money and put it in an escrow account. And then you go to the courts and say, my landlord is not fixing my faucet. I'm paying my rent. It's in an escrow account in his name and my name. When he fixes my faucet, he can have his money. I've put it aside. It's in the bank. Third party has it. I mean, at some point, is that the way the states may have to look at the federal government?
I don't think anyone would do something like that, to tell you the truth. I mean, I just don't think there's enough guff out there to do it.
Well, that's exactly right. Not enough guff. Not enough guts. From anybody. And I think that's where our states need to stand up and say, enough is enough. You know, I am a member of this union. I want to make sure that things are being done right. All right, there's the sound of the heartbreak. You're catching the drift. We'll see you on the other side.
Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. What's considered wealthy? That's one of the questions lawmakers are grappling with as the fiscal cliff gets closer.
One of the big sticking points so far has been about the income threshold for tax increases, basically trying to figure out who should be classified as wealthy and who should count as middle class. President Obama has wanted $250,000 per household to count as wealthy. But Democrats now say that they're willing to let that go higher.
Fox's Peter Ducey in Washington. Eight U.S. sailors are suing the operators of the Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan. They claim they were kept in the dark over radiation leaking from the tsunami-damaged reactor while they assisted survivors.
A complaint filed in the U.S. federal court in San Diego alleges Tokyo Electric Power Company and the Japanese government conspired to withhold the truth about the radiation release.
Fox News Radio's Alistair Wanklin. The sailors are seeking $40 million apiece in damages. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Mark your calendar. The Abolitionist Roundtable of Michigan hosts Del and Phil present their second annual Luncheon and Life Achievement Awards Saturday, January 19th at noon at the Ukrainian Cultural Center, 26601 Ryan Road in Warren. Guest speaker will be former Mayor of Troy, Janice Daniels. Tickets are available for $40 per person and $75 per couple and can be purchased at artofmichigan.com or call 734-334-6309. Hospice of Michigan has started its first caregiver support group, a safe and supportive place where those caring for terminally ill loved ones can express their feelings and struggles. The caregiver support group meets the second Tuesday of each month at HOM Southfield Office, 26957 Northwestern, number 140, from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The program is free of charge and open to all caregivers in the community. Light food and refreshments will be available. To learn more, call 313-578-6328 or visit www.hom.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched two free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com.
Hey friends, Theron here. I had the weirdest dream the other day. I was giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a goat. It was a cute goat.
Crazy.
It was crazy, and the goat was trapped beneath a burning oil tanker out on I-94. And through the window of the tanker, I could hear the driver. He was listening to the radio. That is before he was engulfed in flames. He was listening to the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Good morning and welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. In the studio with me, Chris Key. And on the line, we have Jenny calling from Brownstown. Jenny, Happy New Year to you.
Oh, same to you both.
What do you got, Jenny?
Well, I don't have all the specifics of this, the years or anything, and I did hear this on a talk show. I don't remember which one, but England tried this experiment some time back about just taxing the rich, and from what this person said on the talk show, the rich people said, okay, bye, we're leaving.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny that you bring that up because France just did the same thing. They put a 75% tax on anyone making more than $1 million, and some of their most famous clothes makers, perfume makers, actors, Gerard Depardieu, they just left. They moved to Belgium. They moved to wherever. I didn't get a chance to read the whole article, but somebody took them to court. Somebody in France, I think it might have been Depardieu, the actor, and the French court ruled the 75% income tax illegal, according to the Constitution. I'm assuming they're probably saying, you know, we're all equal under the law. We should all be treated equally. I mean, if I'm paying 25% of my income to the federal government, I think everybody should have to. You know, there's ups and downs to that. But that's part of that progressive income tax that we have labored under for so long. But you're absolutely right. The people will leave. I mean, that's people voting with their feet. That's people saying, I've had enough. I'm going to move somewhere else. I'll move to Costa Rica.
Right. And they didn't get the money, the income that they needed, the government, and they kind of reversed themselves, I guess, and the rich people came back.
Right.
And this, yeah. I don't know the years, but somebody could look it up maybe. But anyway, yeah. I guess it's a true story.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jen. That's exactly right. And what happens is when you tax people like that, they'll either A, look for the loopholes, they'll hire attorneys, or they'll move their money offshore, or they will just leave. I mean, the problem with taxing millionaires like that is they can just leave. They can afford you to say, I'm done. I'm moving. I'm taking all my money. I'm moving somewhere else. Because you know what? There's another country somewhere else in the world, a poorer country, who will say, you're welcome here. I'm surprised Castro never did this. I'm surprised Fidel didn't just say, you know, all you rich Americans, come over here. You know, I'll only charge you this much to live, and you can do whatever you need to do. You know, that's, I think, where he missed the boat a little bit. He stuck too close to his communist policies. He should have grown with the times like the Chinese have and say, hey, come on over here and invest and bring your money. We'll be happy to have you. But he hasn't done that.
Yeah,
but there are
right.
a lot of,
well,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to live in a – well, we're almost there now. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to live in China where Christians are doing house churches because they're persecuted.
Right, right.
You know, and I wouldn't want to live in Cuba.
Well, and that's why a lot of people threaten that they'll leave. You know, no matter how bad it gets here, it's probably still better than most places in the world.
At least right now.
At least right now. Wow. How that may change in the next 8, 20 years, whatever, I don't know, but it could very well call. Jenny, thanks so much for your call. Good to hear
from
you.
And that was my point anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Great,
okay.
Great point. Thanks, Jenny. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Take care and have a good new year.
You too.
So Jenny hit it on the head. We've tried. We have tried taxing people to the nines, and it doesn't work because eventually they'll run out of money. And then who are you going to tax?
Well, I've got my denim tuxedo ready to go for Canada.
Funny enough, I used to – my family comes from Canada. My mom was Canadian until she became an American citizen. My father's parents were Canadian, I think, and as Canada became more socialist with their policies, with their medical socialized medicine, with their anti-gun stance, I used to call Canada the pink stain on North America because they were going the wrong direction. In the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, Canada is starting to come around the other way. They've had this grand socialist experiment, and it's not working particularly well. People understand in Canada that if you get sick, you might have a problem because that socialized medicine doesn't work real well. People with money in Canada come here for their medicine. You know what I mean? They come here for the doctors because they don't want to wait in a long line if you've got liver cancer or something like that. So that grand experiment in socialism isn't working there. Hasn't worked in Europe. And yet Barack Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi seem to want to go that way. I mean, Chris, can you tell me one country where socialism has worked?
No, not that I know of.
No. Derek, how about you? No, absolutely not. I mean, if there's a caller, 734-822-1600, call me and tell me I'm an idiot and tell me where socialism has worked or communism. But those phones are just ringing off the hook, aren't they, Derek? Yeah. The grand experiment doesn't work, and it won't work here. The problem is, what will we look like when we come out the other side if we continue on this path of trying to tax the prosperous? I mean, I'm a common sense guy. That's the way I look at it. I've never had a poor person give me a job. I just haven't. I mean, when I've had jobs or even when I was self-employed, I didn't get work from people who had no money. I got work from people who had money, people who were investing money, either in their home or their business. And you have to have that private enterprise, that free market strategy to make things work. Otherwise, in the end, you eat up all the riches. You know, if you take away the ability for people to get ahead, nobody's going to try. Nobody's going to work. Why should I work? Just give me my government dole. Give me my bread. I'll stand in the bread line. You know, then I'll go home and I'll watch TV. It doesn't work. It didn't work in the Soviet Union. I mean, even today, Russia, with crazy Putin doing the we're going to get into this because this aggravates the heck out of me. Russia is no longer really a communist country. Well, they saw the writing on the wall and are kind of free market now. It's kind of a gangster market, but it's free market nonetheless. So I don't know. Let's move on, shall we? You and I were talking earlier. I got my Costco magazine, and I guess does that put me in the 1% because I belong to Costco, Chris?
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm a 1%er, I guess. I wish my paycheck and stuff would dictate that, but obviously, according to Chris, if I belong to Costco, I'm a 1%er. So we got our Costco magazine in the mail, and I just happened to pick it up and thumb through it. You know, I was looking for the coupons, and
I don't know why you're rich, aren't you?
I'm certainly filthy rich. That's why I wear hand-me-downs from my father. All right, I am not. That's not true, but well, it is. Some of my shirts my dad gave me, but here's some questions that they asked at Costco over this last year for 2012. They were gauging the popular opinion. Now, you got to remember, these are Costco customers. These aren't average Joe on the street. I mean, I don't know. Derek, do you believe that Costco people are average people? You agree, you think so. Chris, you say no. You think they were rich if you go.
Well, no, they're average. I mean, okay. You just don't see, you know, people that are poor at Costco buying a Costco card. I mean, they don't need the 74-pack of underwear.
Maybe they do because they probably have the most kids. That's another story all into itself. But let's get into this, shall we? Here's a question they were asking. Should you be able to opt out of Social Security? Now, what would you guess? You think, you know, the big thing, don't touch my Social Security. 53% of respondents said yes, they would like to be able to opt out of Social Security, meaning they don't trust the government to do with their money, whatever it is they do with their money.
Well, if they opt out, does that mean you have to pay in?
I would assume for this question, they're opting out, meaning they don't want to put anything in, they don't want anything out.
Yeah, I would agree in that 53% because then I could come up with my own plan instead of being stuck with something.
Exactly. 53%, which surprised me. 47% said no. Now, let's touch on that real quick. Social Security was originally designed as a safety net. It was designed, you know, it started out after the Depression. We can't have people in America starving in the streets. We can't have old people eating cat food, you know, lighting their homes with candles to stay warm. So Social Security developed over the years to become this safety net. Well, it went beyond that. It's no longer a safety net. It's an entitlement. You know, everybody puts in, but when you do the math, because we live so much longer now, people are actually taking more out than they've even put in over their lifetime. And because it was a safety net, it was for those people who, A, were hurt in some fashion, they got stung by a pyramid scheme, their investments went bad, maybe they were just too stupid to invest properly or invest at all. That was the safety net. And yet, people who make good money, who retired properly, who have millions of dollars in their bank account, who don't need their Social Security check for $900 a month or whatever it is, those people, ideally under a safety net standpoint, shouldn't be getting that money. I'm sorry to see it. I'm call in and hate me if you want to, 734-822-1600. But it was originally designed as a safety net. So they've talked about having a level where if you make so much money, you won't collect your Social Security. And I think that's a good thing. Do you agree? Even though you've been paying for 20 years or so.
I don't doubt it. I mean, I'm not looking to retire on Social Security.
Right. And you can't. You shouldn't be. Nobody should be relying on Social Security for the retirement. I mean, it happens, I understand, and it is that safety net for those people who have. But ideologically, we should not be depending on Social Security. Now, me, I don't think I'm ever going to get a dime out of it. I mean, I've put it in my own mind, I'm going to be the 80-year-old guy greeting people at Walmart. And I'm fine with it. I like getting out and talking to people. It'll give me my chance to continue talking to people.
I think you would excel at that job.
I think I would excel at that job as well. Can I get you Cartman? And then pester them a little bit on their way in, in the way out. They'd probably fire me for being political. Gary, you can't be talking politics when you're handing out the carts. Yeah, all right. I'll be the 80-year-old guy out in the parking lot pushing them all into the building because they don't want me talking to anybody. But Social Security is something where we really need to change. I mean, it's got to change. I hate to scare people, but we can't continue with Social Security operating the way it is. Paul Ryan had a nice plan. You know, if you're 55 and older, it wouldn't change for you at all. But those of you 55 years and younger, you need to start coming up with your own gig because there's not going to be as much money there. I think that's just the way it's going to have to be. Either that or the system goes broke and then nobody gets anything. You know, what's the worst? What would you prefer to do? The common sense thing is make the changes so everybody that needs it gets a little bit, and those of us that don't won't get it at all, you know. Let's move on to another one. And this is Costco again. Should marijuana be legal? 94% of the people who responded to Costco's questionnaire said yes, marijuana should be legal. Your thoughts?
Well, first, that's quite surprising because I'm pretty sure that 94% of the people that walk into Costco aren't smoking blunts in the parking lot.
I would agree. I don't think most people shopping at Costco are high-ons. They're not freaks. They're not out there getting high and buzzed and walking into Costco to go shop.
So, yeah, when you brought that question up this morning, it intrigued me and I started thinking about taxing. If 94% of the people said, yeah, I mean, why not? Doesn't the government jump into something like that, even like the local government, and start taxing stuff like that? I mean, yeah. Are they doing that now with the Michigan medical marijuana cards? Are they taxing for that?
Yeah, they're not taxing people. And I think they missed, you know, I think the government is exactly missing out a huge, huge economy here that is all underground. Even with legal medical marijuana, you're still missing the taxation portion of it. Because some people are getting rich with their little medical marijuana shops down here in Ann Arbor and in other parts of the state. They're making big bucks.
Well, and I don't know if this is true or not. I just heard that didn't the city of Detroit make it legal to smoke marijuana and there's no card or anything?
I think they decriminalized it and they may have legalized it. I think it's somewhere in between there that within a certain amount. I mean, you can't walk around or have 20 pounds of marijuana in your house because then you're a drug dealer.
Yeah.
But I think at a certain level you can do that.
Well, why doesn't someone look into taxing that stuff?
Should, I mean, exactly.
Look at the cigarette industry or tobacco industry. You have companies set up that have already done that. Isn't it, in fact, illegal to grow tobacco in the United States?
You cannot grow tobacco in the United States unless – I'm trying to remember. I looked this one up. You have to have a minimum amount of acreage and you have to apply to be licensed and permitted to grow tobacco. You can't just go in your backyard and put in four tobacco plants. You can get arrested for that.
Yeah, and so I think maybe the tobacco companies just step in and take over the marijuana industry and then start taxing.
And they do. I had a buddy who worked for R.J. Reynolds years ago and he said all of the tobacco companies – have plans on the books, ready to go for the day marijuana would be legalized. And they would grow it, they would produce it, they would package it, they would sell it, just like they sell tobacco now.
And how much tax is on a pack of cigarettes right now? I'm sure it's pretty high.
It's huge. Absolutely.
And so that would be a huge income for the economy right there.
There's no doubt that, you know, legalizing marijuana in whatever fashion you do it, let the big tobacco companies handle it. Maybe you could do it in a different way. You know, try to build a good middle class of farmers who, you know, you can only grow so much. You have to be small plots. You have to be licensed, certified, and taxed to the nines. But you could probably easily develop a whole new class of middle-class farmers who do nothing but grow marijuana. And the one thing that we don't even grow hemp in this country anymore. We buy our hemp from Canada. That's how stupid we are. The byproduct of marijuana growing, the stems, the stalks, you know, a marijuana plant grows 14 feet in a season. The statistics show we would never have to cut down another tree for paper products if we grew marijuana as a crop in this country. Hemp, basically. Now, the detractors say it's the gateway drug. Oh, if you allow that, you know, the biggest gateway drug is alcohol. I mean, if you want to talk about gateway drugs, alcohol is the ultimate gateway drug. Tastes good. You can do it, flavor it up a million different ways. You know, a lot of kids start experimenting at 12, 13 years of age with alcohol, some even sooner, depending on where you live. That's the ultimate gateway drug. And it's addictive. Marijuana, physically, is not addictive. Mentally, maybe so. But alcohol, like cocaine, is addictive. So if you want to talk about gateway drugs, it's alcohol. It's not marijuana.
Some people have voiced concerns whenever I've been in conversations like this about you know, people driving under the influence of marijuana and stuff. And when I looked this up last year, they actually have a breathalyzer now that can test and be able to tell if you had smoked marijuana within like the last 3 to 4 hours, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we put a man on the moon 50 years ago, 60 years ago, whatever it was. And I've always wondered why they don't have some kind of a breathalyzer for marijuana.
Well, they do now. It's just I think it's just on the books for when it all goes legal around the United States. I mean, it's starting to in other states.
Well, there you Colorado. Go, all you toke heads out there. You better beware. They can now test you for marijuana. They're looking at your eyes. Why are your eyes all red, son?
I'm throwing salt on them, officer.
All right, let's move on because that's a story unto itself. I could talk that policy all day long. Do the benefits of fracking outweigh the risks? Now, fracking is where you drill down, you pressurize the substrata underneath the land to force the natural gas out. 92% of the population said yes, the benefits of fracking outweigh the risks. 92%, that's huge.
Well, what are the risks? Because I don't think I know anyone that even knows what that is.
Well, if you watch Promised Land, which is that new movie that Matt Damon just put out, which allegedly was funded by the Saudis because it's competition. Natural gas is a competition to oil, right? I don't know if that's true. I just heard that. In that movie, he goes in, I think, and becomes a fracking guy. He's working for a fracking guy and sees that, oh, my goodness, it's poisoning the land. The water supply is getting poisoned. All that natural gas and stuff is coming up and making the water flammable. Now, on YouTube, there's pictures of these people who say, oh, this fracking company came in and natural gas, methane is now coming out through my water. And I can light my water on fire. Well, those YouTube videos are real. You can do that. But it's been happening for hundreds of years. In this country alone, there are like 27 towns called Burning Springs, Burning Wells. Google it up. Burning Springs, Burning Wells. These are places where natural gas or methane or some type of substance was coming up through the ground into the water, and you could light it on fire. It happens naturally sometimes. And the people in Colorado that kind of set off this movie, it's been that way for years. Long before there was ever fracking in that area of Colorado, these people were able to set their well water on fire. So it's complete and utter nonsense put out by this tree-hugging eco-terrorist saying that fracking is bad. Is it the ideal way to make energy in this country? No. Ultimately, you would like to be able to get solar, something clean that's free. But we know making solar panels in today's technology is not cheap, easy, or free. It costs money, and it has its own side effects of rare earth metals that need to be used and poisonous byproducts to make a solar panel. But fracking is a cheap, clean, and easy way to produce energy in this country, and we should be doing it. Doesn't make sense that we're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would have to agree on that one.
Okay. Let's move on to another one. Should juries for high-profile criminal trials be anonymous? Now, this is one I never thought about. 89% of people believe that if you're in a high-profile jury, O.J. Simpson or one of these other high-profile, you should be anonymous so that you can make your decision without being threatened. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, I would hate to have who's the pyramid guy, Bernie Madoff. I would hate to be on the jury for Bernie Madoff and have that guy's got millions of dollars outside the country somewhere. If he could hire a hitman to threaten me or my family, I certainly wouldn't want to have to be a juror and have my name all over the place.
Well, you are making what, like $5.25 a day to do that?
Yeah, I mean, you get paid the bare minimum. It's a daily stipend. I don't even think it's minimum wage. I don't know what it is. It's a couple bucks.
Oh, I'm at $5.25. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they give you like $25 a day now. You're living back in the 60s, dude, where $5 actually meant something. But I think that's a good one. Another one they talk about, do the benefits of super PACs outweigh the criticisms? 26% said yes, 74% said no. So I guess the majority of Costco people don't believe in super PACs. And I think I'd almost have to agree with that. I don't know that super PACs helped in any way, shape, or form. It's like...
What exactly is a super PAC?
Super PAC is if you're running for office, I can only give you so much money. But if I can give unlimited amounts of money almost to a super PAC, and that super PAC can then say, well, I like Chris Key as a candidate, so we're going to back him. So they can spend millions of dollars out of a super PAC, but I can't let you spend money on your own candidacy. I can only give you so much.
So did you hear that super PAC's out there, Chris Key? Just go ahead and call the station up and send your money my way.
Send your money to Chris. I'll be his campaign manager. We'll suck it up, right? That's lots of money. So, yeah, I think you're just moving the money around. It didn't do anything. It was kind of a stupid law to begin with. How about this one? Does a country's economic prosperity lead to happiness? 53% of Costco respondents said yes. Only 53%. That kind of surprises me. That makes me actually feel kind of good about people because almost half the people in this country don't believe money makes you happy. I don't know if that's good or bad. It's probably the poor people who get money from government. They don't care, right? They're happy already. I get my money for free.
That's right. Every time they get that check in the mail, they're happy.
Well, there you go. That goes back to the 47% that Mitt Romney was talking about. I don't need money. I get it from the government. I'm free. That's why I'm voting for Obama. Well, there's the end of another show. We could have dragged this one out for a couple more hours here. Derek, thank you. Happy New Year to you. Chris, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Happy New Year to everybody at home. Thank you for catching The Drift this Sunday. Until next time, educate yourself.